God bless you. Again, good to see you. Thank God for you. I want to direct your attention, first of all, to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to, as usual, study from many scriptures. We do value teaching God's word, so everyone tune in. Also on the screen, you'll see the same scriptures. So if you want to, I encourage you to follow along with us because there is great insight and great blessing and blessing for your life coming out of God's word. My topic today is cultivating a new attitude. Say, I'm cultivating a new attitude because I just might need it. Ask a neighbor, say, neighbor, could you use a new attitude? Ask him back now. That's go both ways, okay? Yeah. All right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Apostle Paul wrote, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of the highest honor." Now, King James, New King James says, "Let this same mind be in you that was in Jesus." This text is saying, New Living is saying, "Let this same attitude be in you, which was also in Christ." So attitude is a very important word. We all have our understanding of it. We think we know what it means. We might not, because there's more to the word than you may realize. And when I say we're going to cultivate a new attitude, the word cultivate is a farming term, gardening term, that when you cultivate, it means you go and work the soil, you put the seed in. Once the seed goes in, you have to water the seed, watch, get the weeds out of the ground. So cultivation is involved with getting a really good harvest from whatever you're planting. So I want us to think of attitude in the same way, because attitudes grow. Attitudes grow like plants grow. And seeds that go into our hearts and minds become the basis of our attitude. So attitudes don't just appear from nowhere. Attitudes are developed and grown. So therefore, we must cultivate. Say, I must cultivate my own attitude, or it will be cultivated for me. And sometimes we find that we're not even thinking what we want to think. We're thinking the thoughts that have been imposed upon us by others and by the popular culture. Sometimes we haven't even formed our own opinions like we should have on things. We've let other people tell us what to think. Well, here's some quotes. "A good attitude will not always change our circumstances, but it will always change us." Yes, John Maxwell said that. He also said that what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Actually, that quote is from Walt Emerson. I got those backwards. Walt Emerson said that. What lies behind us, what lies before us, are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Attitude. And then, now, Maxwell did say the last one here. Life is 10% of what happens to me, 90% of how I react to it. Right? 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. That's huge. That's a major insight, and it goes to our attitude. So attitude is not what people perceive. Sometimes, he got a bad attitude. It's not what you think. What I think about you, think about me, is not what matters. Because most times people are wrong about what they're thinking about you anyway. Don't be concerned about that. Be concerned about this. Attitude is your internal disposition. That's what you should be concerned about. What's on the inside of me? What folks say about you, you can't control that. And people are mostly wrong about that because they judge a book by its cover. Even though folks say, don't judge a book by its cover, they do what? Judge a book by its cover. So this world is full of contradictions like that. Now, the dictionary defines attitude as this. Listen up. On the screen as well, I believe. Attitude means an internal position or feeling with regard to something else. All right? It's obvious. Internal position. How you feel inside of yourself in regard to something else or somebody else. That's your attitude, okay? And some of the words we use to define the word as synonyms will be disposition, feeling, mood, opinion, sentiment, temper, tone, perspective, frame of mind, outlook, view, morale. Those are all terms that go to attitude. And it's all about your internal disposition. Not what you think about somebody else, which, by the way, is a bad disposition, right? Your attitude is bad. Yours is worse. I mean, for saying that, think about it, see? So for me to judge you, I'm just judging myself. The old saying is, one finger points, how many point back? All right, don't forget. So be concerned about your attitude, because God is. God certainly is, and we must stand before God and give an account, not for somebody else's attitude, your attitude, my attitude. So then we all stand before God and give account for what we were saying, thinking, you know, feeling, what we told other people about other people and things. All that stuff we got to give account for. Amen? And that's enough to keep our mouth shut right there. So suddenly I got no problem with your attitude because I got to deal with my own. I don't have time to deal with what I think I see. I only got time to deal with what I'm dealing with internally, my internal position or feeling. Pilots, airline pilots, use the term attitude in a different way. To a pilot, attitude describes a horizontal relationship of the airplane to the horizon or to the runway. So when a plane's going to take off and begins to take off or land, it needs to be at the same attitude as where it's trying to land, right? Because obviously if you go in trying to land with the plane tilted, you're going to hit the wing first. The wings would hit the ground first, not the wheels. Well, that's a good analogy, because if our attitude gets tilted, we're going to crash too. We're going to clip something. There's nothing good can come out of a bad attitude. Nothing good can come out of it. Like an airplane pilot had to line that plane up. I've seen airplanes come in for landings in high winds. Ontario, California has an airport that's positioned in the gap between, well, near the gap between two mountains. And the way it works is sometime when the winds blow a certain way, the mountains compress this wind. The wind comes between the mountains and blows toward the airport. So airplanes that are landing have to really fight to land. Now, I've been on a flight when a plane had to fight to land. That wasn't hard. It felt bad. It wasn't hard for the pilot. It just looks bad. When you watch the plane land from the ground, the plane is tilting and going this way and that way, and it yaws and all this kind of stuff. But then when it lands, it's perfectly straight. All the stuff in the air don't matter as long as when the wheels touch down, the wheels touch down. And so the pilot knows how to do that. All I'm saying is, whatever your attitude might be right now internally, we can get it straight, we can get it level by the grace of God. Amen? Because nothing good will come out of a bad attitude. Nothing good long term will come out of it. Our attitude is our internal disposition, again, toward other things, other people, and our circumstances. And so, as with the airplane, attitude is applied when we want to make the adjustment. So we have attitude, we can apply attitude. You follow me? We have an attitude, But we can apply attitude. That is, we're not just subject to how we feel. We can change how we feel. Say, I can change how I feel. Yeah. Like I told a friend one time, I told a friend, call him on the phone, and I began complaining to my friend about stuff. He said, Brian, get your heart right. And I did. Had the boy in media camp one time, acted all crazy. I said, boy, get yourself together, boy. He straightened right up. It's amazing what folk can do. When you place a requirement on them to do it, and they respond to it. Amen? Husband said in counseling, I just can't stop raising my voice at my wife. I get mad. I raise my voice. I hear counselors say, tell you what, every time you raise your voice, give her $100. You know, he stopped raising his voice. Isn't that amazing? It's a miracle. Oh, don't tell me we can't change. We just don't want to change. But we can, can't we? The graphic there you see on the title on the bulletin, down the screen now, but you see it says some scissors there. Let's cut that T off the word can. Can't becomes what? Can. Cut that T off, the apostrophe T. Cut it off because, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, especially if it concerns me. I mean, I cannot guarantee that I can handle circumstances because things happen I can't control. I can't guarantee what folk going to do, but I can definitely guarantee what I can do. Amen. I can control my response. Amen? Amen? So the Bible says that your attitude should be the same as Jesus. What does that mean? Well, go back to the text, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Again, attitude the same as Jesus Christ. What was it? He says, though he was God, he was God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is God, Jesus is God. But though he was God, he did not think of equality with God a thing to be clung to. Meaning that when he was in the earth, Jesus walked as a man. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. So for the purpose of saving us, he had to walk as a man, not as a God. See, as a God, he could have made things happen he did some miracles, you know, as being God. But concerning himself, he chose to suffer what people suffered. He chose to have food to eat. He chose to live in a body and to live and suffer like we do on earth. He was tempted as well, but never sinned. All that he went through because he, in humility and proper attitude, didn't choose to walk as God, but to walk as a man anointed by God. You hear that? Verse 7, he gave up his divine privileges and took a humble position as a servant. So the attitude we should have is the same. You know, I got privileges as a pastor and as a man of a certain age and all that, but I just choose to be a servant. I do things I don't have to do. I can call people and I do sometimes, but the point is, I don't have the attitude everybody got to serve me. Oh, I'm the servant. Amen. I don't have any armor bearers. I don't need armor bearers. I ain't got no armor in the sense of arms and weapons. And I was in a conference one time, and the preacher was in the bathroom with armor bearers standing by. I'm like, he's in the bathroom now, man. He's safe in the bathroom. Let the man do his thing in the bathroom. Now, helping the leader, helping the pastor is important. Yes, help the man. I need help. But listen, Jesus' attitude was, I accept the help. I just don't demand it. I don't demand it. And if folk don't help me, they just don't help me. That's on them, not on me. Amen? But my spirit is, you should be serving me. Well, not if you don't want to. Amen? So the same attitude that he gave up his privilege and took position of a servant. And then says, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. He didn't deserve, Jesus Christ did not deserve to die a criminal's death.
or any death.
Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong. He didn't sin. Sinners deserve death. That's why he died on the cross for us. See, when you see Christ on the cross, any picture of that? That's not for him. That's for us. That was the death sentence we deserved, that he took. That's why he suffered like that. Had he not had the right attitude, so I'm getting off this cross. I'm tired of all this here. I'm tired of this here. I'm tired of you spitting on me. I'm tired of you talking bad about me. Away with you. He could have just looked at folk and made them explode. Jesus could have done that. He could have mashed them like a bug. He's God. Could have made them all vaporize. Like you see ray guns, you know, science fiction. He could have shot rays out, vaporized them. I'm serious. He could, but he chose to set aside those privileges, to walk like a man and to show us that people can live victorious in this earth. You believe that? Amen. And he died for us. Then it says, therefore, God elevated him to the highest honor. So then when you humble yourself, God exalts you. When you humble yourself, God exalts you. Say, when I humble myself, God will exalt me. That's the only kind of exaltation you want, is the kind from God. You don't want self-exaltation. You want it from God. You want God to lift you up. Amen? So then, now, what we often see in people may be a reflection of their attitude, but don't make the mistake of judging people by what you see. Now, I've got a friend whom you don't know. I got a friend who looks kind of serious and overly serious. He doesn't seem bubbly. Doesn't seem bubbly. He just seems like he's an attitude don't seem right. You could think that. Now, what you don't know is this. He lost two sons, both sons at the same time, in a car accident. It was a long time ago. He's over it. But see, some experiences change your life. Some things jerk all the slack out of your life. I mean, for the rest of your life. Some of us out here have been through enough stuff where we don't need to be bubbly for anybody. Need to be real with people and real with God. Don't have no time to posture, right? Now, it's not to say that we don't monitor people's perception, but we cannot control perception. You best be true to yourself. You better be true before God and honest before God and true to God and before people, because your life is going to be shaped by the circumstances, good and bad. And you become, in your later life, a very focused person. You become a person that God can rely on. Amen. And then people can, too. You are reliable. People know that man right there, he reliable. God knows she's reliable. Right? Now, they not always bubbly. I don't need bubbly. I need reliable. I need somebody, you know. Now, truth be told, now, you know, I mean, when I'm not working, I'm not working. Now, you can't get me to work and I'm not working. I'm going to have some fun now. But that's a rare side you see of me, because I'm working, you know, at church most of the time. My point, though, is you cannot judge by what you see. But what's more important is that let us be circumspect, meaning let's allow the Spirit of God to show us all sides of ourselves. You know, if we looked at ourselves as hard as we looked at people, we might learn something helpful for ourselves. If we were on ourselves as much as we talked about people, come on now. If we examine ourselves half as much as we examine other people, we might become better folk. Amen? So my friend, whom I know, I tell you, he's a joyful man. Oh, he's very joyful. He just doesn't need to have that face, you know, a happy face, you know, a smiley face. And, you know, sometimes people that smile at you, man, don't respect you at all, you know. So don't go by this. I mean, there is a superficial level of attitude. There's superficial attitude. You go into the store. Hi, friend, you know. You don't even know me. How am I, you know, I'm not your friend. Smiling. Well, that's, you know, obviously to get your sale, that's wise and smart. But sometimes folk who aren't even trying to help you or sell you just put a smile on their face. They'll smile for 5 seconds or less, look at you and smile, and they stop smiling. Some people smile at you, I guess, to disarm you. Don't hurt me. I don't know. It's just weird behavior. That smiley face people have on sometimes for no reason. You know, in New York, New Jersey, I thought people were rude out there. First time I went out there years ago, I thought, they're so rude out here. They're rude. I mean, back home, they say, may I help you? Are we okay? Out there, it's like, what do you want? I mean, here's like, may I help you? What do we want? Over there, it's like, what do you want? I'm like, your attitude's bad. No, it's not. They just, some folk don't deal in any level of superficiality. So I'm not going to ask you what do we want, when obviously I'm the one came for something. Just say what you mean. What do you want? So my point is, don't get caught up in trying to judge people's attitude by the outward appearances. It really won't work. Amen? It won't work. And even though we may reflect our attitude, it may seem like it, but things aren't always as they seem. Say this, say that, say my, say that your perception, is not my reality. Say it again, say your perception, is not my reality. Yeah, yeah. Because we're into perception and, okay, what I perceive must be real. Oh, no, oftentimes it's very, very wrong. So then life circumstances or privileges or lack thereof will affect the development of our attitude. Watch this video I'm going to show you. Let me set it up for you. This video is from a show I watch on Weather Channel, where this company owns a wrecker service, and they go recover, I mean, big wrecks. I mean, semi-tractor trailers, collisions, major big-time wrecks, not just, you know, car accidents, mostly big trucks. And the owner is a millionaire. Didn't look like it, but he is. He got a national TV show, a big company. As you watch the video, look at the attitudes of all the people in the video as expressed by what they say and how they act, because that does reflect attitude, our words and deeds. There's the owner. There's a new guy they hired, owner's stepson, and a guy who does the training for new drivers, okay?
Get out of the way, puppy.
At the yard, Jamie shifts his focus to yet another project, getting Brandon's new tow truck ready for the road.
Let's get everything working on it, like the ratchets, and get some string lights in it.
He gives the job to the new guy, Gord Lundeen.
Make sure it has gas cans on it.
Oh, yeah.
All the goodies that it's going to need.
This is Brandon's truck. This is his pride and joy.
That's what they say, but I don't think he'll be driving it, though.
I think it'd be good for him to learn on it, if he wants to learn. I've never had anything handed to me. I'd have to work for everything I wanted. I mean, I've been working since, what, 11 years old. Look what he has, look where his parents are, look where he lives, look what his parents do, right? But some people just don't want to do stuff like this, right? Well, I don't know how to tow or I mean, I'm willing to learn. I'll do whatever. If someone wants to teach me, I'll learn.
But today's tow lesson goes to stepson Brandon.
Ken's talked to me about learning how to do the towing business. That's something I'm pretty interested in, but, you know, obviously not as a long-term career or anything, but it'll help me make money easier and faster.
What I'm trying to do with Brandon is teach him how to be a tow truck driver. Just a matter of trying to teach him and show him the right way of doing things. What's going on, buddy? How are you? So Jamie went and bought this truck.
Yeah.
And if you're interested, we kind of want to get you into the towing program, because obviously winter's here and we're going to get busier and busier. And then we'll just go for a ride around Hope with a car in the back. You can drive just to get the feel of what it's like to have something on the back of the truck.
Okay.
So jump in, start her up, Brandon.
That's all?
Just start her up, yeah. There you go. If you look over there, there's a little black car. See between the wreck and the van?
Yeah, yeah.
Back up to that, buddy. We'll load that up.
I still have hope for Brandon. You know what? He's a young kid, and he's got a ton of potential.
So now what you need to do is you need to spread these out.
There you go.
And basically, you want to have them a little bit wider than the wheels of the car. Okay? You gotta have steel toes.
Yeah, I don't have those on.
Part of learning this job is learning to come to work prepared, and that's with the gear. Safety boots and high visibility clothing have to be dressed for the job. So go over to the other side. I know your hands are cold. So just go over, grab the chain, and put it around the steering like what I did.
Jamie owes me a new pair of sweatpants.
Yeah.
I don't like dirt. Can't stand dirt. I like being clean.
Okay. A little bit tight for room over there, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know what you can, you know what might be a little
that this is like a $200 worth of clothing. That
I'll show you some.
No way.
Anyways, you got the idea.
You can't be driving that truck like that. You gotta have work boots on, you gotta have coveralls. You can't be in there doing the job. So go get geared up. If you're going for a ride with him, you gotta have the right stuff. And you're like you're on your way to the gym. You have to have coveralls, work boots, and look the look.
Have you got your coveralls at home?
I don't get paid enough to do that. Let's go.
Yeah, if Jamie says we can't go, we can't go.
I'm not gonna go at all then.
You don't have coveralls at home?
No, I don't like I don't get paid enough for this kind of though.
Okie dokie. I'm a little bit disappointed. Jamie said you're not going out in a truck in runners and sweatpants. It's not safe. You have to be dressed for the job. And he wasn't dressed for the job. And I'm not getting paid to be out here to teach him. I'm doing it because I want him to learn the proper way. We bought that truck for somebody to drive and tow cars. I want to have him on a team. At the same time, we can't keep this truck off the road because he doesn't want to drive it. There's lots of guys that would love to come and work for Jamie. Here's the truck. We need somebody in the truck.
The next morning, Ken takes another stab at expanding his car towing staff.
Just grabbing some blocks of wood. We got to go load a pickup truck that's totally burnt. They're a little bit trickier to tow than your average car tow. There's no wheels. I offered to give Gord a lesson driving a tow truck just to kind of find out what's Gord all about. Because my first impression of Gord was he's a scary looking dude.
New recruit Gord drives a classic black Caddy, but he's never driven a tow truck.
They look at me and they think, oh, he's a criminal.
You always got a chain to sling up. Jamie doesn't like it when the slings bounce around. It's not good for it. So. This truck we're going to tow, the guy that was driving it died.
Oh, yeah.
Try not to think about that too much. He's got his all his gear on. He's got his safety boots. He's nice and warm, high-vis clothing. You're driving, young fella. I know how to drive these already.
All right.
Gord's a quiet guy. He doesn't emote much. He doesn't have a lot to say. Gord doesn't need to say anything because I'm teaching him. He's not teaching me.
Stop. Go ahead about 1 foot. Right there.
Normally, you start him out easy. I took Gord on a job where somebody had died in a vehicle. It had set on fire. It had no wheels, and it was at the police detachment. So no pressure there.
This is called doing a chain lift. It saves your sling belts. If you got jagged metal or whatever, it's all sharp. It doesn't cut these belts.
Okay.
Lift it right up, though, because now we're going to have to block it up to get the dollies under it.
About there?
That'll work.
Did it just lock in there or just sit in there?
They sit in there, and then when we lift it up on the bars, the weight of the vehicle holds them down. Lift it up quite a bit more. I'll tell you when to stop. Stop.
Out.
If you want to pull ahead, and then I'll close the gate.
Yep.
It's looking good. Go to the yard.
When we got the vehicle here and we reversed the process, he remembered how to do everything.
Yeah, no, you're doing good, Gord. I'm real impressed.
I didn't have to do a thing, basically, other than just watch him unload the vehicle. So that tells me that the guy's got mechanical knowledge and common sense.
Now you know how to tow burnt vehicles on dollies.
I figured you out.
He's an awesome teacher. You should be a driving school instructor for tow trucks, right?
Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
You did good.
See all the behaviors and attitudes going on? Of course, you had the bald guy. That's the owner, the stepdad. who runs the company. You have, of course, that guy with all the piercings in. Thought he was a criminal, or they thought they were. He was. And they had the stepson, you know, Brandon, who, the truck was bought for him. He didn't show up ready to work, right? So it just shows you how that internal disposition is going to affect, you know, an outcome. And whereas the boy who should have had, you know, who was really in position to have all that, didn't appreciate it. And the guy with the tattoos and the piercings and driving that low-rider Cadillac showed he had a work ethic, right? Now, to be fair, I watched the show quite a bit. Brandon did get right, okay? He got much better later in different episodes, different season, okay? I think by season two, his mind had gotten right, okay? Amen. So it worked out. It did. It's real life. Sometimes people have to have a chance to get their mind right. Amen? Okay. But I wanted to show you that video as an example, an illustration of how life circumstances, privileges, or lack thereof will affect your development of attitude. I've told a pastor friend of mine this just last week. We're talking and had a discussion, and there was a song we used to sing. The song was Going Up the Rough Side of the Mountain, an old song I heard sung years ago, and we used to make fun of, oh, rough side of the mountain, we're gods, we're blessed people. You know what? There's some good lessons to be learned up the rough side of the mountain. Come on, somebody. And I've been up the rough side of the mountain, and I must say, I actually have had good attitude adjustments on the rough side of the mountain. The smooth side didn't help me as much as the rough side did with my attitude. Well, that said, let me share with you now some points about 10 things successful people do not do. All right, do not do. First of all, those who are successful do not return to what has not worked. All right, think about that attitude situation as well. Number two, people successful do not do anything that requires them to be someone that they are not. Right? Not going to pretend, wish I was somebody else. Don't do that. Folks who are successful, number three, do not try to change another person. Sometimes we think we can. Our attitude is, I'm going to change you. Wrong attitude. Can't change it. Let God do it. Number four, they do not believe that they can please everyone. Well, that's evident, you know. Although we sometimes try and we keep failing, but successful people know I can't do that. I'm going to stop trying to do that. Number five is that they do not choose short-term comfort over long-term benefit. Number six, they do not trust someone or something that appears flawless. You know, don't be taken in by anybody or anything that seems perfect and flawless and everything over there is smooth and, oh, no, don't be deceived by that. Nobody is perfect. No opportunity is perfect. Number seven, they do not take their eyes off the big picture. So sometimes trouble and difficulty make you look so strongly at that trouble till you stop looking at your long-term goals, what you really are after with your whole life, not just the circumstances around you. In fact, a lot of trouble in your life will force you to look down a lot to handle the problems, but don't forget to look back up every now and then to see where you really plan to go, right? Your life is not defined by your trouble. Say, my life is not defined by my trouble. It's not. Number eight, they do not neglect to do due diligence, meaning that follow through on stuff. I mean, for example, if you go to apply for a job, you fill out the application, then you call a follow-up, right? It's called due diligence. You follow up, you take all the steps necessary in that process. Number nine, they do not fail to ask why they are where they find themselves, meaning that, you know, if I'm in a situation, how did I get here? How did I get where I am right now? Because sometimes asking that question, you'll find out I made a bad decision along the way. Now, I can't reverse the decision, but being aware of the decision, at least I can make the change going forward. Amen? And finally, they don't forget that their inner life determines their outer success. Now, these are not spiritual principles, but they're wisdom for us today. And your inner life, the Bible says, in fact, 3 John 2 says, don't turn to the slide there, I'll just read it. It says that, beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So I want you to be prosperous and in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. So then your inner life, say my inner life, determines your outer life. Amen? All righty. Now, let me wrap up here. Let's look at a couple examples. Look at Jeremiah 29. Let me share with you a scripture I see in a new way in light of this message. We've read the scripture many times. I've preached on it many times. But here's a new way of looking at this scripture, Jeremiah 29. Let's pick up here at verse 1. I'm going to read just a portion here. Matter of fact, verse 11, please. The passage is wrong. That's verse 11, actually. All right, 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Now, this is a very encouraging scripture because you're talking to people presently, actually, in bondage outside of their own country. They were actually slaves and servants somewhere else. They were not being treated cruelly, but they were not home. They were in bondage. Here's the point. God says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. It's encouraging, isn't it? You'll call upon me, you'll pray to me, and I will hear you when you call with your whole heart. Say your whole heart. Now, think about this. This text, I believe, in addition to God saying what he wanted to do, I also believe he said this to help the people adjust their attitude. Because when you're not where you want to be and not where you should be, and you're going through a hard time for a long time, that can degrade your attitude. It can. It can make you look down on yourself and sense a lack of hope. So God said, look, no, I have plans for you. I believe God, in advance of what he actually did for them, he gave them this scripture, this talk, this prophecy through Jeremiah to help them adjust their attitude. Because listen, y'all, until we have an attitude adjustment, we really can't have victory. Attitudes precedes victory. What did I say? Attitude change, attitude precedes. I mean, all these athletes, today's the Super Bowl, these guys playing football today, playing for all the marbles, you know they say, Atlanta and New England. And so those guys go out there, and the winner of the game will have had the best attitude because they're all prepared to play. The teams are both very, very good football teams, right? They're really good teams. So really it'll come down to, you know, mostly attitude in addition to execution, right? But if execution is going to be equal, if they play the same way, it's the guys who have a certain mindset that'll come out on top. I don't like New England Patriots, but they got the GOAT. What's the GOAT? Greatest of all time. They got Brady over there. Don't like him. Don't matter that you don't like him. He's still the GOAT. And if they win the game, it's because of him and Belichick, who's a GOAT coach and a GOAT quarterback, with 25 some odd people who played in that Super Bowl before versus 5 guys from Atlanta. But I'm pulling for Atlanta. I got friends down there. Brad's down there, you know. They're underdog. I'm pulling for it. My heart say Atlanta. My head say the GOAT is going to get you. But I don't know. Really don't even care. My point, though, is at that level, elite athletes, they have a mindset. They're arrogant. Well, it seemed that way. But if you don't believe you're the best, you won't be the best. Amen? All right. So then, I believe that God gave them that exhortation to help inspire their attitude. Let's go to Numbers 20. Here's a kind of a bad example from a really great man, Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Yeah, a bad attitude leads to bad behavior. Numbers 20, verse 8. God said to Moses, take your rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock, speak. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give them to, and gave drink to the congregation and their animals. Now listen, in case you didn't know, this is how God sustained them in the wilderness. That the first time they didn't have any fresh water, God did a miracle. God said, Moses, see that rock over there? Go speak to that rock. And water came out of the rock, y'all. How? Well, that's why he's called God, okay? And Bible says the rock followed them. When they broke camp, that rock rolled behind them. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what happened. So now, Moses had done it before. It wasn't like he hadn't been to this drill before. But something different happened this day. So verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. And Moses is speaking to the people, not the rock. He's like, Moses' attitude is bad. Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock with his rod, struck it twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation's animals drank. So the outcome, it worked out, didn't it? No, it didn't work out. See, there is something called the right means to the right end. You might get the end you want, but were the means correct, okay? Meaning that God told Moses to do what? Speak to the rock. He did what? He struck the rock after saying, call the people a bunch of rebels. You rebels? Well, they were rebels. But it wasn't like he had to let that make him disobey. His attitude was soured. The environment of those people soured his attitude until he said something he didn't need to say, but worst, he disobeyed God, and he struck the rock that God said, speak to. Look what God said, verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Just like that. So Moses will not be able to take the people over into the promised land. We know Joshua did that and Caleb. And this is why Moses didn't do it. Now, for one, you know, well, it wasn't his time, his season had ended, but ended prematurely because he let his attitude sour. But worse than that, he disobeyed God. The point is, a bad attitude would lead to disobedience. It would lead to disrespect. It would lead to doing stuff that ought not be done. Okay, if a person's attitude was correct, they wouldn't do things they're doing. So Moses made that mistake. We do not want to make that mistake. Don't let your frustrations or even hard-headed people around you carry you away from trusting God. Or said more plainly, don't let another person's hang-ups hang you up. Because sometimes we get hung up by stuff that doesn't even really involve us, except that we're witnessing it and we're affected by it. So then that's not the way to develop and maintain a good attitude. If God says, speak to that rock, what do we do? Just speak to it. We don't have to analyze what God said? Do I have to parse it? Maybe he meant hit it. No, I think he meant what he said. Right? Old saying is, God has this problem. He thinks he's God. Therefore, we ought to trust him as if he is the God we say we believe in. If you believe in him, trust him. If you believe, take your car to a technician, well, trust the technician to service your vehicle. Trust your dentist. Trust your pastor. Trust people you say that you love and trust. Because, understand this, our attitude is going to affect our ability to be receptive. It really will. And sometimes we'll miss out on the thing we should be seeking. Our attitude is so bad, we miss out on things we ought to have in our lives. Sometimes people, like this guy in this video, the young man, at that stage of his life, he missed out on the opportunity to have his own truck, make a lot more money. But he's like, I work too hard. My clothes cost too much money. What you doing? Put your work clothes on. Attitude was all messed up. But now he did get right. He got better later on. So watch the previous, the next season. Okay, I tell you, he came around. God bless him. Let me finish up here. So then, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. So then, if a bad attitude can keep a person outside of the best God has, then a good attitude will bring you into the best that God has. And we're teaching this whole theme this year is about being empowered and empowering others. We must believe we can be empowered, believe we can have what God says we can have. That's the first part of us really receiving God's best. And so it says in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, be renewed in the spirit of my mind. That would be same as attitude, because our mind has a certain disposition, a certain spirit about it, right? So God says, be renewed. And that's the basis for transformation of our whole lives. Wherever we're, however we think, is going to transfer into how we act and so forth. So then, to cultivate a new attitude, first receive what God said here. Let God do what he said he can do, that he can renew us. Say, I can be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. You have to avoid people who scoff, people who are just super negative. Proverbs 9, verse 8 says, down on the screen, I read it to you, it says, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Now, in that video, you know that the trainer guy did not try to correct Brandon because he was just in a scoffing mode. See, a scoffer don't want to hear you, okay? So the trainer guy said, okay, okie dokie, walked away. I ain't going to mess with him. See, he ain't right, all right? Now, the stepdad, the owner, spoke to him. He cussed and got in a truck anyway. Let's go. So the owner said, you're not going to drive without your gear on. He got in the truck to drive it, right? Other guy said, no, we're not driving his truck. Jamie said, no. Kid cussed and left. Right? So you don't rebuke a scoffer. A person who's scoffing, don't try to rebuke him. All right? Let God deal with him. It says, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. Teach a just man, and he'll increase in learning. That kid with the tattoos and nose ring and stuff? Right? When he was taught and corrected, he responded, right? And he responded so well that he learned that basic procedure. When a truck came back to the yard, he could unload it by himself, having never driven a tow truck before. A good attitude will increase your capacity, I mean, really quickly. Amen? The final point I give you here is to control your thoughts and words. Say, I must control my own thoughts and words. Because, again, behaviors come out of that. Like Moses said, you rebels, and he went and did something dumb, right? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, for they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yeah, death and life. It is not just physical death, but just the forces of death, darkness, trouble. You know, if we don't speak in a correct manner, not just words, but the whole lifestyle reflects how we speak. But those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Praise God. So again, going back to what Jeremiah said, what God said through Jeremiah, he said that I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. And I want you to hang your heart on that, hang your heart and mind on that, that God has plans for you. In fact, he also said later on there in that same chapter of Jeremiah, he said that, and also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have sent you. So even though they were in exile, God said, while you're there, I want to bless you. Then he said this, and pray to God for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Amen. So your job may not be the job you want to be at right now, you know, all that. But listen to me. If you pray for it, if your attitude changes, you can export a new attitude. And your attitude helps you first, but also it will empower people around you. See, when you're empowered, then guess what? You can do what? Empower other people. You can actually lift the state of your school, your workplace, your city. Really, you can make a difference right where you are. You believe that? But believing it is the beginning of it, isn't it? Amen. Let's all stand.